Amen. Thank you, Natalie. It is such a joy to get to worship together with the women of Salem Alliance. I am so happy to be here with you guys tonight. My name is Anya, for those of you that I haven't met before. My husband Doug and I are pastors of Refugee Ministries here at Salem Alliance, and we absolutely love what we get to do working with folks who are moving to Salem from all different nations of the world. And I don't usually get to be with you all on Wednesday nights. I blame my children mostly for that. But I was so happy when they asked me to come tonight because it really just brings joy to my heart to be in this room worshiping God together. I love your theme that you're going through for this year, the theme of thresholds. The idea of that space that's between what is and what is to come. And these thresholds often take the form of life events that take us from one way of being to another. And you know that when you cross over them, that things will probably never be quite the same again. Life is full of thresholds, and a lot of them are things that we plan for, things that we sort of anticipate. So this might be things like graduating from high school, going off to college, starting a new job, getting married, bringing a child into your family, bringing any additional children into your family. Those are just such huge thresholds every time. Moving to a new city, sending your kids off to college, retirement. But there's other thresholds that come suddenly and unexpectedly into our lives. And sometimes they're things that are welcome, and sometimes they're not welcome. So this could be things like a sudden job loss, maybe a surprise pregnancy, a loved one who dies suddenly, getting diagnosed with a serious illness, a relationship breakup, a major accident, a sudden career opportunity, maybe it's a natural disaster. So thresholds are a big deal, whether they're expected or unexpected. They're life-changing either way, but the unexpected ones sort of have this special tendency to bring anxiety, to bring fear, to bring overwhelm, to bring panic. So we're going to talk about these unexpected thresholds tonight. I'm guessing that many of us in this room either have walked or maybe currently are walking through unexpected thresholds in our lives. And if we haven't, all of us will at some point or another during our time on this planet. So we're going to explore what it looks like to trust God through these life-altering seasons. Because I believe, and I'm guessing many of you have experienced, that if we lean into trust through these unexpected thresholds, that they can actually be some of the very most faith-deepening experiences of our lives. There's a lot of examples in Scripture of people walking through unexpected thresholds, but one of my favorite examples, and also one that's very appropriate for this season of Advent that we're in, is Mary, the mother of Jesus. When we talk about kind of this list of possible unexpected thresholds that a human being could experience, I think Mary might win the prize for the most unexpected one that I could possibly imagine, getting pregnant with the Son of God. Like, does anything top that? So we're going to read the story of the angel's visit to Mary from Luke chapter 1. But first, a little bit of context about who Mary was. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot about her background, but we know that she was a young Jewish woman living in the town of Nazareth in Galilee, a region that was in northern Israel. And we don't know her exact age as the story begins, but based on historical and cultural context, where Jewish girls were typically engaged and married pretty soon after reaching puberty, most scholars estimate that Mary was probably somewhere in her mid-teens when this story began, 14, 15, 16. Other clues from scripture indicate that Mary was likely from a humble and devout background. So not a wealthy family, but a family that was really serious about their Jewish faith. And I just think it's so good for us to remember that Mary isn't just a figure who had Jesus on Christmas. She was a real human from a certain life stage and family situation as this unexpected threshold enters her life. She was a teenage girl from a religious family following the respectable path that a Jewish girl should follow in her life. She was engaged to a respectable Jewish man. She was a virgin. She had remained pure for her husband. She was at a threshold. She was getting ready to leave her parents' home and start her own household as a carpenter's wife, raising a quiver full of Joseph's children. And it was all planned, and it was expected, and it was wonderful. Life was moving along exactly as it should. And then Luke chapter 1 happens. So we're going to read Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 56. And there's a sheet on your tables. Hopefully everyone got one. I wanted to list out the whole passage so you can follow along. And then as we talk further, we're going to be referencing back to it. So you have it all there. And as we read through it, I want us to notice how Mary responds to this life-altering news that she receives, this unexpected threshold that she suddenly finds herself in. Her response, I would say, is probably one of the greatest acts of trust in all of human history. So let's pay attention to the qualities that we see in her responses and in her actions to see what we can learn from her about trusting God in the face of our own unexpected thresholds. So Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to a town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. This is the word of God. There are so many things that we can learn from Mary in this story, but we're going to look at four of the qualities that we see in her responses and actions that can teach us about trusting God in our own unexpected thresholds. For each of the four qualities, you'll see there's some blanks on your paper. I know it's satisfying to fill in blanks, so you're welcome. And there should be pens on your table. So if you want, you can follow along with that as we go. So the first quality that jumped out at me is that Mary was humble. Mary was humble. She wasn't proud or arrogant. She had an accurate perception of her place in the world in light of who God is. Not only does she call herself a lowly servant girl in her song of praise in verse 48 when she's with Elizabeth, but we also see her humility all throughout this story. We see it in verse 29, which says she was confused and disturbed by Gabriel's greeting. Now remember, Gabriel's greeting was, "Favored woman, the Lord is with you," indicating that Mary is being singled out in some way. She is favored. And this humble young girl feels confused and disturbed by this special attention. And probably I'm also guessing by the fact that an angel is speaking to her. We also see Mary's humility in the question she asks Gabriel in verse 34. "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." This is a super practical, legitimate question. She's an unwed virgin, and never in the history of mankind had there been a woman who had become pregnant without having sex. So, super legitimate question. But it's also a question that Mary asks in humility. Notice in this question, she doesn't question if what the angel says will come true. She doesn't ask for proof from the angel that this will happen. She simply asks how this miraculous event will come about. The fact that she will give birth to the Son of the Most High is accepted by Mary simply because God's messenger says that it will happen, and she recognizes who he is and who she is. We also see her humility in her response of acceptance in verse 38. I love this line. She says, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." She acknowledges here who she is, the Lord's servant. And then she surrenders everything to him. She views herself as someone who exists to serve her Lord and her master. Being his servant is at the very core of her identity, more important to her than all of the other identities that she holds. And this allows her to embrace God's plan for her, even though she knows that this is going to come with shame and this is going to come with suffering. As an unmarried woman, she knows that her pregnancy is going to be seen as scandalous to the Jewish community. It's going to risk her reputation, potentially even risk her life. In that culture, you could be stoned for committing adultery. Can you imagine her preparing to break this news to Joseph? There are some serious life-altering implications for her. But in humility, She sees herself as the Lord's servant, and that is what matters to her more than anything else. So Mary was humble. A second quality we see is that Mary leaned on community. Mary leaned on community. Verse 39 tells us that just a few days after the visit from Gabriel, Mary hurried to the home of her relative, Elizabeth. Now remember, back in verse 36, Gabriel told her that Elizabeth had become pregnant in her old age. So another woman getting pregnant in a way that should not be humanly possible. This was like the true definition of a geriatric pregnancy. I was considered geriatric when I was pregnant age 36, so Elizabeth really topped that. So as soon as Mary has a chance, she rushes off to spend time with Elizabeth. It seems that she knew that she needed support from someone who was walking a similar journey. Verse 56 tells us that she stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months. That's a long time, about 3 months before she returned to her home. And I'm guessing Elizabeth was probably really relieved to have Mary there with her because Zachariah was not much fun to talk to at this point. So she's like, please, Mary, stay with me. But imagine what Mary would have observed during those 3 months with Elizabeth. She would have seen what to expect in the last stages of pregnancy and most likely would have been present at the birth of John. Something that would have come in really handy to her a few months later when she's alone with Joseph in a stable in Bethlehem. Imagine the conversations they must have had during those 3 months. I would have loved to be a fly on the wall in that house. About God giving them these miraculous babies, wondering how his plan was going to unfold through their sons, and Mary processing how she was going to re-enter her community with the questions and with the condemnation that was likely to come. Imagine how Elizabeth must have supported Mary as Mary felt the first signs of pregnancy and processed what was happening in her body. Not only the normal pregnancy changes, like feeling nauseous or having food cravings, but the fact that the Son of God was literally growing inside her. Mary needed someone who believed her. She needed someone who understood her, who stood by her, and who held God's promises with her. So she leaned on community. A third quality we see is that Mary knew God's character and his ways. Mary knew God's character and his ways. Mary's response of deep, solid, unwavering trust in God in the face of a seemingly insane promise came from a firm foundation of knowing who God is and knowing how he works. We see this in Mary's song of praise that starts in verse 47. She proclaims God as the mighty one who is holy, who shows mercy on those who fear him, who has done tremendous things, who has brought down the proud and exalted the humble, who has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty, who is Israel's helper, who has kept his promise to her ancestors. She knew that she could trust God because Mary knew God. Her wholehearted yes to God didn't come from a shallow relationship with him. It wasn't sort of this sudden burst of devotion. She knew his attributes, his qualities. She knew the traits that guided his behavior and his actions. She knew how he had acted in the past, and therefore she could trust how he would act in the present and how he would act in the future. The fact that she knew him in this way tells us that she had spent significant time with him, learning and listening and being in his presence. She also clearly knew the Old Testament. Her song has strong correlations with the song of Hannah from 2 Samuel. It also references Genesis, Deuteronomy, 2 Samuel, Job, Psalms, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Micah, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah. This girl knew her Old Testament. Scripture was embedded in her heart. So her understanding and her experience of God's character and of his ways helped her to accept Gabriel's message and then to embrace God's call on her life. A fourth quality we see is that Mary understood her life as part of God's big story. She understood her life as a part of God's big story. She ends her song of praise in verse 55 by couching all that God is doing in her life and in generations past and the future under the promise that God made to Abraham and his children. This shows us that Mary understands that Gabriel's prophetic message to her wasn't random. No, it was part of the ongoing drama of God's eternal plan, past, present, and future. She saw God's unfolding story in her own life, not as a standalone, independent, sort of one-off story. She saw it as intrinsically connected as a part of God's story throughout all of history. And what this did is it took the focus off of her individual circumstances, took the focus off of her individual hardships, and instead helped her to trust God with whatever he needed to do with her life in order to carry out his big story. So as we think about these qualities that we see in Mary's life, I hope that we can look to her as a model of trusting God as we journey through our unexpected thresholds that either have come, are coming, or will come into our lives. And not only just making it through them, but actually going deeper in our relationship with God through them. So just to recap quickly, Mary was humble, and we can seek to grow in humility, in accurately perceiving our place in the world in light of who God is. He is God, and we are not. And when our identity as the Lord's servant is our very most important identity, then we can approach changing life circumstances with a spirit of humble trust, the way that Mary did. Mary leaned on community, and we can cultivate relationships with people who will stand by us, who will hold God's promises with us when the unexpected comes our way. We can seek out those people who have walked through similar circumstances and who are living examples of trust to us. Mary knew God's character and his ways, and we can continue faithfully learning, listening, being in God's presence, and embedding scripture in our hearts the way that Mary did. So that when the unexpected comes and we don't understand all the whys, we do understand who God is. And then we can trust that he holds us in his hands. And sometimes that's all there is, and that can be enough. Mary understood her life as part of God's big story. And I think this one can be hard for us in modern Western culture. Our worldview is pretty individualistic, and we tend to see our lives and our families and our achievements and our failures as our own individual stories. So it takes some intentionality for us to step out of that mindset and to view our lives as part of the huge tapestry of God's big story. And we might not always see how our pieces of the journey fit into the big picture, but we can trust that God is taking it and he is making something beautiful. So now I would like us to reflect on our own unexpected thresholds. There are a lot of experiences, there are a lot of stories right here in this room, and I know that we've all learned a lot from our journeys. So I'm gonna tell you a story from my own life of an unexpected threshold that I walked through, and then I'm gonna invite you to share your stories with each other. And as we share and as we listen, we're gonna reflect on a couple of questions, and they're at the bottom of your handout. What helped you to trust God through your unexpected threshold? And how was your relationship with God impacted by the experience? So I'll start, tell you my story. One of the big unexpected thresholds that I experienced in my life. A little background first that you need to know is that I come from a family of missionaries. Missionaries all over the place. So my grandpa's side, great-grandparents were early Alliance missionaries in Africa. Grandma's parents were missionaries in China. My mom grew up in Congo. My dad grew up in Kenya. Missionaries all over the place. When I was in middle school here at Salem Alliance, I went on a missions trip to Mexico, and while there, experienced a very clear calling to cross-cultural ministry as a seventh grader. My family moved to Kenya when I was in high school. I met my now husband, Doug, who also comes from a family full of missionaries. And so we just shared this global heart. We got married right out of college. And basically, we signed our marriage license. And a few days later, we signed up with the Christian and Missionary Alliance to become international workers. We knew that's what we wanted to do. That was the one thing that we were pursuing. We knew we were called to the nations. Took a number of years to go through the preparation process. We had a couple kids, and finally the time came for us to head overseas. And we went to Kosovo, a country in Eastern Europe, and we packed up everything, we sold everything, we were in it for the long haul. And we loved it. We loved our team. We loved the Kosovar people. We dove in and started learning Albanian. But during our first year there, one of our kids started having some really significant struggles. And we tried to get the help that we needed there, but the system in Kosovo didn't have the resources that we needed. So after working with the Alliance and other professionals, it was determined that we needed to return to the United States for an indefinite period of time in order to get our child the resources that they needed. And we were devastated. This was a really major, unexpected threshold in our lives. Because God had called us to the nations. We knew He had called us to the nations. That's where we were supposed to be. And yet, of course, our child was our top priority. We were going to do everything in the world for our kid. But it just didn't make sense how this all fit together. So we moved back here to Salem. This was my hometown where I grew up. We moved in with my parents. We didn't know where we were supposed to live. We didn't know what we were supposed to do, where we fit, what our purpose was. We had had such a clear calling and sense of purpose. We literally had no plan B set up. So now we felt lost. There were a lot of tears during that season. There were many dark and difficult days. So what helped me to trust God in this unexpected threshold? Well, one of the biggest things was a living picture that He gave me. Right after we returned to the U.S., I had a medical appointment up in Portland. And Doug's parents live up in Portland, so we all headed up there for Doug and the kids to hang out at his parents' house while I drove to this appointment. I was in a part of Portland that I had never been to before, so I plug in the directions in my maps. I am directionally challenged. I can't get anywhere without my maps. So plug it in, get to my appointment. I come out of the appointment, and it's nighttime at that point. It's dark, and it is pouring down rain, one of those great drenched Oregon days. And so I get back in my car, plug in, you know, back the address to get back to Doug's parents' house and start driving. So as I'm driving, I'm thinking, man, this is taking a long time. And all of a sudden, I'm like not recognizing anything around me. And then all of a sudden, I'm like out on these country roads and the houses are more spaced apart. And I'm like, I don't think I'm going back to Doug's parents' house. And I have no idea where I am. So I pull over on the side of the road and get my phone. I'm like, I must have plugged in the address wrong. I don't know what happened. Pull up my phone to figure out what's going on. And my phone dies. So I begin to slightly panic. My palms get sweaty, my heart is pounding. I'm like taking deep breaths, thinking, what am I gonna do? I can't call anybody. I have no clue where I am. I'm so bad at directions. It's nighttime, it's dark. I don't know how I'm gonna get home. I start to think, like, should I get, you know, go to one of these random houses and knock on the door and see if someone has pity on me? And well, but that's kind of weird and creepy. So I'm just in my mind, you know, what am I gonna do? And suddenly, I heard God's voice. To this day, I don't know if it was audible or in my head, but it was the closest to being audible that I have ever experienced. It was so clear and so direct. And this is what he said. He said, trust me, and I will get you where you need to go. Trust me, and I will get you where you need to go. And it was so clear, I had no other choice but to say, okay, God, I will. And I started driving. So I pull back out on the road. I start driving, still no clue where I am. And I would get to an intersection, you know, a four-way stop, and be like, huh, do I go left, right? I don't know, I'll go left. So I just, this drive went along that way. The entire time, I have no idea where I am. I am not recognizing anything. Like, let's just keep driving. And I just keep repeating God's words over and over in my head, trust me, and I will get you where you need to go. So it wasn't even that long, and all of a sudden, I pull onto the street, and I look to the right, and I'm like, oh, that's Doug's parents' house. I literally drove right back to it, never had to make any U-turns, turn around, right back to it, having no idea where I was until I arrived at the front door. So as you can imagine, I continued to come back to this living picture over and over again in the months that followed. That season of life felt exactly like that dark unknown when I was lost in my car. We didn't know where the next turn was going to take us. We had to make decisions without knowing the final destination. All the typical things that I relied on were not working for me. Everything in me wanted to just grab onto control and figure out what to do. But just like in that night, it was an opportunity for me to practice trusting God as my only guide. So how was my relationship with God affected by this experience? Well, it ended up being one of the most faith-deepening experiences of my life because it took me out of the driver's seat. And those of you who know me probably know that I'm a planner. I like to have everything all planned out. But this forced me to relinquish control and to trust God in some new ways. And as someone who likes to understand things, I had to make a choice to believe that God saw a bigger picture that I didn't understand. My dependence on him grew, my faith grew, my ability to listen to him grew, and these are things that I wouldn't trade for the world. So that's my story. Now it's your turn. We have about 15 minutes where I would love for you to get in groups of about three. And what I would love for you to do is share a story of an unexpected threshold that you have been through in your life. And as you do, reflect on those questions. What helped you to trust God through your unexpected threshold? And how was your relationship with God impacted by the experience? This is a way that we can lean on community and learn from each other. So let's spend the next 15 minutes, and then Natalie's gonna come up at the end and close us with one last song.